Welcome back this week on this program, Let It Out, that you're listening to. I'm your host, Katie. Jessica Lida is back. A friend of this podcast, Camilla Engstrom, recommended I do a session with Jessica in 2020. And I did. And after working with her one-on-one, I wanted to share her wisdom and perspective with you here. So I did that too. I had her on the podcast and talked about the unique way that she works with people. She combines chakra clearing, muscle testing, body charts, and way more to connect people more with their bodies and their intuition. It's hard to articulate, but she explains it really well in that first episode that we did back in, I think, 2021. At this point, she's now facilitated healing sessions with thousands of different people, from celebrities to therapists to shamans to skeptics and to me, and maybe you, because if you listened back then, I know a lot of you ended up working with her after that episode, and you might want to again. But here's a conversation that we had just a week ago, actually, to when I'm recording this. And I got to do a session with her recently, right before that, which we get into a little bit. And I talk about my experience working with her. I hadn't done a session in a really long time, and it was nice to reconnect with her in that way. And like I said, it's tough to explain, but really cool. She figures out how to help release trapped emotions and experiences and imbalances and get them out of your subconscious and out of your body so you can find some clarity of where you need to focus and grow and how to get back into alignment. And we talk a little bit about that, but we also, her wisdom around some subjects that I had on my mind, because she's someone I really trust her perspective and opinion on. So we this time focused on how to handle feeling stagnant, like what to do when nothing is working, and how to handle toxic relationships. We talk about setting boundaries, people-pleasing dynamics, overwhelm, catching ideas and letting other ones go. All things that have been on my mind recently. So let us know if you listen. I think she's really wonderful. And here is my conversation with Jessica. Thank you so much for doing this. I know you just came off a session. How are you feeling? I listened to our last interview and we were talking about how you feel drained after doing sessions at the end of the day. So I appreciate you doing this.
You know, it's so funny. It just really depends on the session that I'm doing and who I'm doing it with and what their energy is like. So actually this time and more often, I feel myself feeling like a high after doing sessions, or really lit up. So that's how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling really lit up and great because I just got to make someone feel better and like remove their roadblocks, and they were feeling great at the end of the session. So I'm feeling great now too.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that worked out really well, because yeah, I love when things are like that and you're not coming from a session where what happened to be really draining. But we first connected over these incredible sessions that you give people years ago. We figured this out when we spoke more recently, but it was in 2021, so several years ago. And then people who have been listening for a while might remember our conversation from that year. And we did several sessions around that time. And I want to do several more for many, many years. And it has been a while, since maybe 2022, since I last spoke to you. And I had been thinking about you and wanting to book a session, but wasn't able to make the investment at the time and was just like thinking about you so much. And then I get an email from you saying that you'd love to do a session with me and come back on the podcast. And I was like, yes to both of those things. This is incredible timing. So here we are.
Yeah, I always say like the universe is in charge of my schedule. And I really feel like you're on my mind so much. So I was like, okay, let me reach out. So yeah, I'm so glad it worked out. This is like perfect. I love when things can be expansive for both of us.
Yeah, I guess I sort of have a question about that, because like, what do you make of kismet things happening like that? Like you know, the last session you had actually kind of gave you a boost of energy and you happened to be doing an interview right after, or I'm thinking about you and you're thinking about me and you reach out. Like, I guess kismet things or serendipities or manifestations, I guess like that. Do you have any language around how you make sense of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to your intuition, right? I really believe that as soon as you have an idea to do something and part of you goes, oh, that's silly, or why would I think to do that? Why would I call that person? That makes no sense. That's where you know it's coming from your intuition. And sometimes following the most random things can lead to the most magical places. And it's really been the most random things that lead me to the most magical places. And it's showing you that even when you can't see it, like the universe and your angels and your guides are really working behind the scenes for you. And I think that's a lot of people's angels and guides are showing up for them in very unexpected ways lately. I just did a session on someone a couple weeks ago, and they're talking about how, you know, they're really frustrated because all these things seem to be going wrong in their life. These packages that they ordered 8 months ago showed up and then they got stolen from their doorstep or things like that. And so I was searching through their energy. I was trying to find like entities or something negative affecting them, and I couldn't. And it really felt like what was happening were it was actually their angels, which I know is a strange thing to say, but it's like, say you're running late and you spill coffee on yourself as you're going out the door, and you get really mad and you're like, oh, it's going to take me an extra 10 minutes to clean this up. You don't know in those 10 minutes, you could have avoided a car accident, or you could have, you know, been lined up so that you meet someone in the hallway at the perfect timing. So it just really shows that we're not in control of timing. And we need to trust that when things aren't going our way, sometimes they really are. That's what I've been learning lately.
Yeah, gosh, same. I really relate to that and understand that. And I think the most interesting piece is when something is surprising, or you get that ping of intuition or idea, whatever you want to call it, to reach out to that person or call it, like, sometimes it feels very overwhelming to me. Like, I'll get so many of those and I won't follow through on them because I don't have time, or I'm moving fast with what's in front of me. And I think rushing is like cuts off a lot of the kismet things. And we talked about that last time quite a bit, of the importance of slowing down and to be able to hear your intuition and follow it and take the time to do that. But a couple months ago, or who knows, maybe a year ago, time seems to be moving so quickly for me. But I spoke about this with a friend who, similarly to you, is very intuitive and wise, and I've had similar conversations with. And I was like, I just keep getting all these ideas, and like, they're coming so quickly, and then I get frustrated if I don't follow up, and I feel backed up. Like, I feel, you know, and I just wrote about like feeling creatively constipated, you know, like I know that feeling. And what she said was sort of interesting. Like, she noticed the way that my brain works, and she's like, yeah, it's different for me. Like, I don't get that many, and when I do, I just kind of do it immediately. But for you, you have so many, you're going to have to like swat some away to be able to do any at all. And she assured me that the ones that are most important will continue to come, or sort of rise to the top. And I'm trying to reflect on if this feels true as I'm saying it, but I think that I've come to do that a little bit more, or I've sort of accepted the state that I'm in with things of like, okay, yeah, this is what came up today. This is what's in front of me, and just swinging at the balls that are coming at me essentially. And that letting go of some of that resistance there has helped. Yet I do feel like when I was more focused, when I was more, not necessarily even pushing, but when I was more, yeah, direct, I think I did accomplish more in ways that, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit more today too, that came up in my session. But yeah, I'm just curious if you experienced that push and pull between making progress on previous intuitive hits and catching new ones as they come. Like, is there a timeline to those? I don't know if that question makes sense.
No, it does 100%. And I think the first thing I'd say is you're not going to hit them all. You know, it's okay. Some of them fall by the wayside. It happens to me all the time where it's like, call this person. And I'm like, I really don't have the energy in me to do that today. And, you know, I think some of those will pass you by. But as your friend said, the more important ones, I think, will keep circling back. So if there's something that I've been wanting to do and I try and swat it away, but it keeps coming back to me over and over and over again, I'm like, okay, this is something really important here. Let me pay attention. And I think maybe the first step with all of it is just writing it down. When something comes to you is not necessarily the same time when you need to act on it. You don't have to drop everything to do this one random thing the universe is asking you all the time. So maybe just like writing it down and making a list of your ideas or pings that come into your head and then being able to act from there. But what I would also say that comes up with it is if you're a person that's complaining or feeling like you're getting nowhere in life or nothing's getting done or your creativity just isn't coming in or you're not getting answers, look at the answers you are being given. Look at the action steps you are being given, and are you acting on those? Because if you're not, then of course things aren't going to keep coming down the pipeline until you act on what you already have. So it's also good to know that if you're still getting inspiration, if you're still getting random hits of things, you're still moving, the universe is still working with you, like, you're okay. Things are progressing, even if you can't see them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It really makes sense. And I think it leads in nicely to what we spoke about that we wanted to focus in on or zoom in on today, which you said, you know, a big theme coming up for you and what you've been seeing in your sessions collectively is this feeling of feeling stuck and stagnation and lack of motivation and a change in ambition to move forward, which you sort of touched on. And that was definitely a theme of my session that I did with you recently. Can you talk a little bit more about that and unpack it a little bit, what exactly you're seeing and how you're helping move people through that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always so ironic. My sessions are such a mirror for me too, because it seems that whatever I'm going through that week, someone will just mirror it directly back to me. So then I'll get to listen to their body and get their perspective on it. And it helps me move through. So like doing a session on you helps bring out my own stuckness and stagnancy, you know, and move through that as well. And yeah, I think it almost seems like, you know, I had a friend in a session a few months ago say like, I know COVID is over, but it still feels like the energy of COVID is here. Like I'm trying to do things and nothing's happening externally. For me, the past year and a half, the universe really took away any form of external validation. And I'm very used to doing something and then having a result right after. If you know human design, I'm a manifesting generator. So I create my own opportunities. If I do work, something shows up. And that just wasn't happening for me for so long. And then it just created this feeling of, well, if nothing's happening, what's the point? Why am I trying? And I actually saw this study that they did in the 60s that had like this dog in a crate. And first they started with like putting electricity on the left side of the crate. So if the dog leaned on the left side of the crate, it would get a shock. And then they did it on the right side. And then they eventually just put it on the whole floor of the crate. So the dog was getting shocked all the time. And eventually what they found is that the dog just gave up. It just laid down and just took the shocks. But then something really interesting happened. Then they opened the door to the crate and the dog didn't leave. Even though the shocks were still happening and everything, it had just fully given up. And I feel like that's what trauma does, right? It like delivers these shocks and we're like, okay, that didn't work. So let me use this coping strategy and go over here. Okay, that didn't work. So let me try this. Okay, nothing's working. So I give up. So what I do in my work is I clear those shocks or those past traumatic experiences from your childhood or even a year ago, you know, so that you can see the open door and you can have the energy and the courage to walk through. That's what's really been coming up lately.
Gosh, that study is so moving to me. You know, like I think people, we all experience trauma in so many different ways and ways we're not even aware of and how it affects us. And that's such an interesting study. And I think your work is so useful. Obviously, I'm such a fan, and I encourage people, if they haven't listened to the first episode, I'll link to it and go back and listen, because I just listened and honestly, I got so much from it, and it was really a strange experience because it reminded me of what I was thinking about and contemplating. Like you said, with sessions, these interviews are such a mirror for me. And I had forgotten so much of what that time in my life felt like and what we were discussing then and how different it is from now, but also a through line. And, you know, I think related to this feeling, you know, I so deeply relate to that. Obviously, you know, as I said, it came up in my session of like, it's really hard to continue when without that external validation, or at least a little bit, like, because momentum is so useful to continuing. And I guess with that, you know, other than doing a session with you, what are some ways to validate yourself or to continue when you're not seeing results?
Ooh, yeah, that is a great question. So I think it's also continuing when you haven't seen results for so long. What happens is, you know, our future isn't necessarily real yet. It's something we create in our minds. And our minds just like to use the building blocks of what has happened to us in the past. So we're projecting our past experience onto our future. But if we've done work and we've gone through all of these things, we have to trust that we're different now. And so things can be different this time around. And I think there's a few tools to help you validate yourself. One is just even just like placing a hand on your chest, looking yourself in the mirror and acknowledging how you're feeling. Another way that I think is very helpful is what I like to call productive procrastination. So if you're having a hard time getting moving again or getting that movement flowing, I have a to-do list of all the things I want and or need to do, right? So for example, I'm going on a trip tomorrow and I have all of this work stuff that I haven't been wanting to do. But now because I'm procrastinating packing for this trip, I've been procrastinating by doing all the work stuff I needed to do. when I probably should be packing for the trip. But hey, I'm still getting something done. So even just looking at your to-do list and being like, what feels like the easiest thing to do today? Not what's the most important or this or that, but what's the easiest thing to do? I feel like that can help you build some momentum. And also your serotonin levels increase anytime you finish a task. So that can be really helpful. Another thing that I've found is helpful in giving me energy to take action in this time is actually an herb. And a lot of people's bodies have been recommending it at the end of their session. So I decided to try it. It's ashwagandha. And you can get it in many different forms. I think it comes as a tea. It also comes as a capsule. And this is not medical advice by any means. Like, please check with your doctor first before you take this. But what it is it's an adaptogen. So it helps your body adapt to stress. So it can help lower your cortisol levels. It helps train your adrenal glands, which produce the hormones to help you cope with stress. It helps give them a boost. So adaptogenic herbs are herbs that give you energy when you need it, but also help you calm down when you need it. So I was finding about a month ago, it was really hard for me to get through a day without taking a nap at around 3 p.m. and caffeine wasn't working. Nothing was working. Since I've started taking like ashwagandha, it's been really helpful in helping me just get through a full day and also be productive. And it's also an herb that's really good for change. Because I think what's happening right now is there are a lot of hidden changes going on that we can't see. Again, if we're still getting inspiration in this time, it means that things are still moving. So I think there are just a lot of changes happening that we can't see. So ashwagandha helps your body cope with change in a more gentle way. And then there's always healing. And then another herb or thing that I use is cacao, which is like basically a cup of hot chocolate for your soul. And it's a heart opener. And it really helps you get out of your head and into your heart space. For me, if I wake up and I'm just overwhelmed about going through that day, I literally imagine instead of my eyes being on the top of my head or around my forehead, I imagine them in my heart. And like, if I could see from my heart, what would my day look like? And oftentimes it just calms me down so much.
I love that. I want to go back to this topic, but I feel like we should take a step back, as much as I do want people to go back and listen to that conversation where we really define it. I think it would be helpful for you to just even briefly talk about the way that you work with people. We get into how you got into it in the other episode, but just, you know, when you say like someone's body has been recommending ashwagandha, what does that mean? Like, what to tell, walk us through, you know, how a session with you works in the, and just so people have an understanding of what we mean.
Yeah, exactly. So when I'm doing work on people with other people's permission, when I connect to their energy, I literally feel what they're feeling. So if they have a headache, I get a headache for an hour. If they have back pain, I get that. If they've been having trouble breathing, I feel the same. So my body basically becomes a mirror. And then from there, I use muscle testing to see what we need to release, whether it's something physical, a physical imbalance, or if it's a past trauma from childhood and what age was that and what happened, or if there's other people's energy cords with other people that need to be released, or something going on with your spirit that needs to be healed and repaired, really go from there so that, you know, by the end of the session, we can both confidently be feeling better. And the way that I receive messages is through physical sensation as well. So I'll kind of feel if someone's body is asking for something specific. And I also have body charts and testing that I can go through, but mainly it's through intuition and just listening to people's bodies and seeing what comes up. And so often there'll be like quotes or something that someone's body will say, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, that's so smart. Thank you so much. And I'm like, hey, that didn't come from me. That was all you. And by the way, I'm going to write that down for myself later too. I've just learned so much through connecting to other people's bodies as well. And I think there's such a sacredness in even just sitting with someone and having them be able to experience what you're experiencing for an hour, you know, and having them be able to understand you, not just on a shallow level, but deeper and on a physical level as well. And there's a lot of people that are like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry that I got my headache or whatever. And I'm like, hey, don't apologize. I did it for an hour. You've had it for years up to this point, or all week. So it's just a really good and validating way to know what has been released has been released. Yeah.
I'm realizing now, you know, having experienced this with you, I am someone, and I think this maybe came up last time, or I don't know if I've said this to you in sessions, but I've said it on this podcast so many times. It was a real theme here for a while, but a therapist once said to me, you don't feel your feelings, you think your feelings in your brain. And it was kind of the first time somebody explained to me the concept of disembodiment or not being embodied and disassociating, I guess. And I was floored, you know, that I was like, wait, what? I'm like, oh yeah, no, I completely am disassociated. And since then, even though I want to occupy my body more and have a level of presence, I've been unpacking why I have become so disassociated, and so many of us are, and how to be more present. But I think what's interesting about that related to the work that you do is that if someone is floating outside their body, the body often screams, you know, when you're not listening, and that's when you get a pain, or that's when you whatever. And being able to communicate with you in sessions and have you help to feel into what I'm maybe not able to is really a beautiful part about it. Okay, jumping into the middle of this episode to tell you about another episode with my friend Jezebel. You might remember this episode if you've been listening for a while, but it's called Sorry for the Late Reply. And in that episode, we talk about the emotional and mental toll our email inbox can have on us. Unread emails mixed in with a mountain of junk mail can feel really stressful, and you can feel like you have all of this homework hanging over your head that is built up and you need to reply to, and that can be overwhelming and hold you back from going outside into the seasons, into nature, or connecting with other human beings, making a creative project of any kind. So what Jezebel does is she can come in, she swoops on in and helps to take a chaotic inbox and morph it into a anxiety-free, dare I say playful, place you actually want to spend time in. She has transformed the inboxes of several people, including me, hi, actually, and Carolyn Palmer, another alumni of this podcast. She's been on the show. Jezebel puts all of her knowledge into a step-by-step process that is now available as a class. So you can take it, and you can work with her one-on-one too. You can tell her you heard about it here if you want that, but also you could take her class. She's put this all into bite-sized modules, so you won't get overwhelmed by the process of doing it. And you'll learn how to declutter and organize and automate your inbox. But what I loved most about my experience of working with her is her focus on visual cues, like colors and symbols that add creativity actually back into something that typically drains me of creativity, my emails. Get an idea of what this is like by just trying out a module. But one of the main reasons why inboxes are so unpleasant for us is because platforms like Gmail set you up with all these default settings you don't really need. So one of the modules in your class is actually tweaking these default settings. It takes about 10 minutes and you'll get rid of about 50% of unnecessary visual clutter. And I swear just that alone can change your inbox experience. You can grab this module for free by going to the link in the show notes and scrolling down to the inbox class page. And in that free module, you can already get started with making your inbox feel a little bit better. And if that convinces you that you want to grab the entire class, I have a feeling it might, you can use the code LETITOUT to get 20% off. And let Jezebel know we sent you if you want to work with her one-on-one. She's incredible, and I'm so grateful that she did the show and now offers this.
Yeah, sometimes you just need someone to do it with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same way. I still have to get work done by other people as well. I try and do it all myself, but that's not the point of being here in this human life. You know, other humans exist for a reason, and it's not just to cause us frustration or drama. It's also to help us. And I mean, even historically, healing was never done alone. It was always done in community spaces as well. So there's also just so much magic in, you know, one-on-one sessions are so deep and impactful. But the impact that I see when I do like community cacao ceremonies or something like that is, it's insane how multiple people coming together, they can share an experience, and it's almost like the healing is amplified in a lot of ways. And a lot of people see the same things or feel the same things. And again, that is so validating because then you don't feel alone anymore, which I think so many of us do. And that's why my brain comes up. I actually dealing with this personally last week. A realization I had is that, you know, I cut myself off before I feel, especially in relationships. So say if I'm feeling upset because someone's, you know, not texting me as often as I want them to or whatever, instead of me voicing those feelings, I will just say, oh, it's silly for me to feel upset about that. Let me just work on myself and get rid of that so that I never have to say it to them. And that's not how it should work. So,
wow, that's such good self-awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've learned that from my past, you know, in the past, in my family or relationships, if I had feelings and I voiced those would be used against me.
Right.
And that's not happening in my life now, but my brain thinks that it will, even though I'm having different experiences now.
Yeah. Well, I want to follow this thread a little bit. I mean, I think something that you've said in the last session or the last time you were on the podcast was that, you know, something I loved about this work with you is like, I don't have to do anything. I just show up and you're like, oh, it's this, and you clear it and you heal it. And I'm like, oh, it's so nice. Like, I don't have to do any work on myself. She just like does a magic on me and then I'm good, you know? And it's like, it's not that cut and dry, of course. And obviously even if it is, like, I am not having a session with you every day. And what I asked you in the last interview, which I think is a good question, is like, since we can't have sessions with you every day, how can we continue this? How can we do this on ourselves? And your answer to that, you were like, bodies have a lot of muscle memory, but the people who have the best results with you are the ones who take the information that you give them through their bodies and they make the necessary changes, like setting boundaries with people or choosing differently next time that choice comes up or changing a behavior. And you said that, you know, what you do in a session with them is only really 2% of it. And actually, it's just giving them the awareness that they can make another choice next time when they're confronted with it. And I think what you just shared is sort of an example of that. And I think, you know, as much as I want to just be like, oh, well, I'm done after the session with you, it's like, no, that's where the work started. And I don't think I really understood that until re-listening to our first episode, because now I'm like, that's going to make me think about the session that you and I just did differently, where I should note too, you give people you take copious notes during the session, and then you give us a document, you're like typing the whole time, and you give us a full document, multiple pages with like these intense notes about everything. And honestly, I would never really look at it. I'd be like, okay, good. She did the magic on me. I'm done. But now I'm like, I think I should maybe go through the document. And, you know, how do you suggest that people take that 2% and do the rest of the 98%?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, basically what happens in a session is we rewrite your nervous system. So now these patterns and things that were just automatically happening are no longer automatic. So once that session is done, it's no longer automatic. It's now your choice and your responsibility in a lot of ways. I like to say this. I like to say that the universe is listening in on our sessions, right? So if I tell someone something, it's like, okay, now you know this, but now the universe knows that you know this, which also means that usually pretty quickly after a session, you're going to be tested. So the universe is going to bring up that same dynamic or something. And in order to break a pattern, your nervous system doesn't need you to do the perfect thing. It just needs you to do something different, literally anything different. So just having that awareness that, oh, I'm at a crossroads. Do I want to keep doing what I've always done, or do I want to do something different this time? Just taking that different path will open up so many possibilities for you. And yeah, rereading your notes is really helpful. I even have clients who will reread their notes like years later, and they're still applicable, or there's still pieces that they realize they haven't fully integrated, that it's time to integrate now. So it's really doing your part so that it's not just a band-aid, so that you can take what your body has told you and show you that you're listening to it. I think that's also a form of self-care for your body. That's a form of validating yourself, you know, taking what you learned from a session and actually listening to your body and applying it. You know, it's the difference between, say, you have a conversation with a partner or something like, hey, it really hurts me when you do this. I really appreciate if you would do this. Like, it's one thing for the person to say, oh, I totally understand you, I hear you. It's another thing for them to actually change and shift that behavior. So if you can be that person for your body that listens to it, but then also applies your knowing, oh my gosh, it's going to show up for you every time. And your trust in yourself is going to increase. That's where all the magic comes from.
Yeah, I think what you were saying earlier about the wish and desire for someone to text you back or whatever it is, that feeling that, you know, that longing for that desire that I know so well, and we've spoken about here so much, of, you know, being someone who's prone to limerence and people pleasing and attaching to ideas of people. And that's something that is very relevant in my mind, to the point where the more I learn about growth, or like you were saying, where it's like, oh, I need to just not want that, you know, or I need to, in the last episode, you were talking about like not feeling feelings about the feelings that you're having, like shame, basically, like instead of being upset that you're sad, like just be process that and let it move through you and just experience the sadness. And that's better than being sad that you're sad or whatever. And I think similarly, what I've been noticing with myself, I guess this goes back to the giving up feeling, where it can feel so daunting outside of, you know, work accomplishments and outside, or relationships or whatever, like things aren't going anywhere and you feel bummed about that, so you don't want to continue. But I'm finding that similarly in reprogramming a pattern in myself or making a different choice or what, like it can feel like I have so far to go. And I, like, for instance, I'll give an example, because I feel like I'm not explaining this well, but I was watching some YouTube video from a therapist about limerence and how to heal. Like, limerence is basically like a crush that's gone wrong, like a crush that's like too much, where you're, you know, kind of obsessed. You have an obsession of like how someone feels about you. And it's a really a lack of connection, because you've built something up in your head, the idea of it. And a lot of people experience, it's kind of a big word for something that we all experience.
Yeah, fantasizing something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And she was kind of going through all these ways to, there's the obvious ways to heal it of like, you know, setting boundaries and, you know, thinking about something, like all those things. And it's, this video is like what to do when those things don't work. And it's not even like, this is not even the worst time I've like felt something like that before, but I was just interested in this video. And what she was saying is like the qualities that you were attracted to in that person that you've made your limerent object or you put on a pedestal are often, I noted to myself to like rewatch it again, but basically she was like, you're attracted to things that are your shadow that you need to integrate. And it's a lot easier to like sort of obsess about what this person thinks about you than to like have the emotional directness and the vulnerability and the intimacy required to have like in a real life relationship. Like these things are a distraction. And so it really felt true. And I really resonated with it. But the part about examining like, okay, what is it about that person that I'm attracted to that's part of my shadow? I was like, that feels so daunting. And I don't know. And I was just like, I can't do that. And I'm doomed, you know, like my brain sort of, it felt so overwhelming. And I'm like, I'm sure I have so many layers. So, you know, I guess I'm just saying like, what, have you ever felt that way where the personal growing work or something like that feels so out of reach that, you know, how do you make it more bite-sized or chip away at it or shift that in your brain? If that makes sense.
Yes, felt that so much, especially the past year and a half. And I think it's, you know, some days you just need rest and you need time to heal. But I think there's actually also an interesting thing. I almost sometimes feel like the universe is leading us to like breaking down fully or to giving up. It almost feels like we're being led to give up, right? But it's, I think there's a reason to that. And I feel like it's because if you look back on the times in your life when you felt the most lost or whatever, they always seem to happen before you get the big clarity or the breakthrough. But you couldn't have received that clarity or breakthrough unless you surrendered. Unless you like, or quite honestly, unless you gave up. And for me, I don't think of giving up as quitting. I think of it as like giving up, like giving it upwards to the universe of God or your angels or your, you know, divine team to help you. And that's when you go from trying to be the leader of your life to actually allowing yourself to be led. And when you allow yourself to be led, you might go to some new places that you haven't been to before. But I do feel like those days, it's so funny because for me, I'll find there are days when I'm just stuck in the action, just productivity. I have to do this. I have to force things to happen and nothing's happening. I keep getting upset. And then I'll have a day where I just totally give up. I'm like, fine, screw it. I'm not going to do anything today. And then that's when things come through. Like, what the heck? What is happening? I think you also have to give your efforts time and space to take action. You don't have to do everything all at once and you don't have to take actions perfectly. So I think sometimes allowing yourself to give up and surrender, but still be open to being led, I think that's the key.
Mm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of richness in, you know, like it's darkest before the dawn or the rock bottom or a phoenix rising from the ashes. That's something that I have been thinking about these last couple of years of feeling stagnant, where I'm like, did I not go down far enough? You know, like, did I not burn enough? Do I really need, because I just sort of like lightly crashed and I've just been like in a low, but I also haven't risen fully. So I'm, you know, like, does one need to completely do that? Or can you just, you know, I think that's sort of been twirling around in my brain, but to your point, I think all you need to do is have the willingness to follow. Maybe it is what I said at the beginning, like following what's come, focusing on what is working and just going in that direction and not, and that's kind of what I'm doing now. So maybe that is on the right track. I can only hope.
Well, here's what I'd say to that. I would say the idea or belief that you have to hit bottom all the way before something changes is a belief that could be blocking you. Because then, like you said, you get into these modes of thinking, which I've also thought, like, geez, haven't I been through enough? Hasn't it been enough? Hasn't it gotten dark enough? Like, that's not necessarily the way the universe works. But I do believe and have seen that darkness is a very fertile ground. Actually, a lot of inspiration and creativity come in the darkness. That's why, I mean, a lot of like artists or musicians, you know, use their shadow realm to actually create from, because it is a very fertile ground there. And I had a friend who a couple weeks ago, she went through a really dark period and she has been doing writing lately. And that's when some of her best writing came out. You know, and I think it's because when everything else around you is dark, you have to become the light. So I wouldn't say focus on what outside of you is working, because maybe nothing outside of you is working. I don't think you need to focus on anything out there. I think it also gives us the privilege to look within and be like, what, instead of letting the external world answer the question of why am I here, stop and looking to yourself and being like, why am I here? And you get the opportunity to answer that for yourself and re-choose this like life of yours, but choose it for you.
Yeah, God, I love that. I have so many more notes and so many more things that I want to unpack with you. So maybe we'll do some of these as rapid fire, but
okay.
I think, you know, first something interesting about that like bit of surrender and like release. I think as long as it's an openness, I think that you get to when you go right and left and you try everything and you get to that point, then you're just kind of like, it's a level of acceptance, I think, that is really comforting. And I've seen so many people talk about that. And like you said, on the other side of that is richness. And I used to believe that about needing to go lower. But I think as we talked it out, I'm like, I don't actually think that anymore. So yeah, I think something there released. And it was interesting listening back to our first episode, because you spoke about a back injury being a rock bottom that you had experienced then that connected you with your body and got you into this path that essentially led to the work that you do now. And what's funny is I was realizing it was interesting that I was like, oh, wow, yeah, no way, back injury. Because in 2022, I would get this gnarly back situation. Yeah. And I read this book about healing back pain, and it kind of like changed my whole perception of pain and how we, you know, distraction pain and a lot of things that you were talking about in that episode. That was sort of so interesting, like in the few 2 years in the future, realizing all of this. And I'm wondering, you know, with that, listening back, you know, you have this illuminated vision of so many things, but that was so long ago. So what's changed for you since since back then, because I was having all these aha moments of how much I had yet to experience and how different things were then. And I'm sure it's the same for you. I know you moved. I'm curious, you know, what have you personally been navigating or learning or contemplating since then?
Ooh, so much. So much. So actually, yeah, back then, so I was navigating the back pain. And I was probably, I was still married back then. I actually got a divorce since then. I was in a physically abusive marriage at that time, which was also, I'm sure, contributing to the back pain, because once I got my divorce and everything, that completely went away as well. But moved out of that and then moved to, I was living in South Africa at the time. And then we moved back to Oregon and then the divorce happened. And then, I moved to California into like a dream house out here on my own. And since then, I've been navigating a lot of, like, I am truly safe now, but just because I am safe doesn't mean that I always feel safe. So again, it's me projecting a lot of my past onto my present when those things aren't actually happening. I've experienced so many good people and so much expansion since that old relationship, but sometimes my body still thinks, goes to the worst case scenario, or still acts in old ways. So it's been a lot of unwinding and a lot of reassuring myself that I am safe. And I've come to realize that so many of my friends see me as like such a stable person and stability for them. Even one of my friends at her wedding, my job as a bridesmaid was to be her security guard and keep her away from people she didn't like, which I gladly accepted. But it's hard for me, even though I provided for myself throughout my whole marriage for two people, for both of us. It's hard for me to see that I am safe with myself and that I am stable and be able to truly accept that. That's really been a challenge for me. And just starting new projects as well, like growing from this space, has been a lot. But I was so tired after I first came here. I was just exhausted. I needed a long time to, quite honestly, sleep that trauma out of my body, because that's what abuse does, is it makes you feel tired all the time. So that's a lot.
Goodness. I'm so sorry that that happened. And I'm so glad that you're out of that now. And gosh, that's just there's no words. Like, that's so, so terrible. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And I'm glad that you're processing that and moving through it. And God, it's so, so awful. And I know that you bring so much richness and boundaries to other people, like your friend, and having to move through that yourself, the empathy that you have for other people in all situations is, you know, probably tenfold because of what you've been through. But I wish you hadn't had to. But thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I think it's given me such a perspective, and now I can see it immediately with other women or people when I'm working on them in a session. I know exactly what's going on, but I also know that you and your nervous system have to be ready, and it's a choice that you have to make to leave. And you know, it's not just the leaving that's hard. Everything that comes after is a lot. So you really need to be and feel resourced and supported for that.
Yeah, gosh. All relationships. I mean, this is one of the things I was going to ask you in the rapid fire portion, but about relationships and dynamics and friendships, even that when something isn't working, creating the boundary and sticking to it, and it's all so sticky and challenging to navigate. And there were two people I brought up at the end of my session. I don't know if you remember this, but I just was like, yeah, these two people didn't come up anywhere. Like, can we just see what happens about, like, if you tap into the energy on these two? And you did, and neither of them had any like cords or any of the things that you do to help people subconsciously. But you just said for both of them that my energy wasn't responding well to them. But with one of them, you just said that I had set a boundary and I would be tested, but I just had to stick to it, which was like so beyond correct that I was kind of like, you know, she's right. I did set a boundary. That's cool. But like, I'm not going to be tested. I don't think, I don't know how that would happen. And turns out you're right. But yeah. The need to do that and the like diligence to which we have to be able to navigate relationships and communicate and not need things from each other or communicate our needs is just something that's really been on my mind. And in particular, I heard this story. It's like two people I know, right? They're like both kind of friends, and two female friends. And one said to the other, I think this works because neither of us need anything from the other. And for some reason that felt so bleak to me, but also it felt so true. Like, I get it, but I think it's less that. And I think it's more like they have less expectations for each other than other relationships in their life do. And that feels comforting perhaps. And they allow more grace and forgiveness when there's an honest mistake, and they, you know, some, so it feels easier is maybe what that I interpreted as what they need. But then I like thought of relationships as a whole. And I was thinking like, what is the purpose to them? If we meet our own needs, then yeah, what is the purpose to relationships? And a therapist of a friend of mine, not even mine, said the need of relationships is for us to self-actualize fully. We cannot self-actualize fully without being in relationships with other people. Yeah. In order to grow, that's why we attract these qualities of our shadow. So I'm kind of offering those two stories to you, and I would just love your perspective on those topics.
Yeah. So what I've realized with boundaries is like, you know, everyone tries the, is this person good for me? Should I cut this person off? Da, 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 da. And I realized there's actually a much higher level or way of setting boundaries if you can. And what that is if you are able to stand fully in your truth, people will naturally usher themselves out of your life. It happened to me last year when I was like feeling my most confident and everything like that. I lost a lot of friends in that time because they wanted the old Jessica back and I wasn't her anymore. And that happens, you know. It doesn't mean someone's bad when they're leaving your life or anything like that. But if you are able to fully stand in your truth, people actually let themselves out. And you don't have to leave your throne for that, if that makes any sense at all. And the other thing I'd say with what you're talking about, why do we need relationships? Yeah, I was thinking about that a lot this year too. And I was thinking about it in terms of like nature. Say there's, you know, a flower. Like a plant can grow itself, but in order to like bloom fully, it needs that like bee to come around and like pollinate it. And then it can like grow fully into its fullest expansion. So I think that's another way of saying just like self-actualizing. But ideally, we would have these relationships in our lives that would allow us to be the fullest version of ourselves. And you know, sometimes that bee that comes by isn't the most pleasant of people. So even the relationships that have been difficult are still allowing us to self-actualize because we're learning a lot through them.
Wow. That feels so true. I really love that. Say a little bit more about, you won't even have to set the boundary. You just by being yourself, things will sort of be by being your true self, things will be taken care of. I've got that right?
Yes, that's right. So say if you're standing in your true self, right? As opposed to people pleasing, say someone invites you somewhere and you really don't want to go and you say no, and you're worried, people pleasing you would be worried. If I say no, what if I lose this relationship? Right. And if you do say no and you lose the relationship, cool.
Yeah.
That's one person out. But that no to that invitation is what was you standing in your truth. And if standing in your truth makes you lose that relationship, that's not a relationship that was yours to begin with. So it's really like checking back in with yourself, instead of looking to please other people, like looking to how can I think of it as like a queen sitting on her throne, like, how can I rule from here? How can I stay on my throne, like without having to leave my throne? How can I sit in my truest self? And anything that's taking you away from your truest self is probably taking you into boundaryless land.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Love that. People pleasing. I have been thinking about is a way, my friend Tom said this to me, it's kind of a way of lying, right? It's like a way of your untruth in a way. And that really like putting it in a different perspective to me as someone who has lived my life, you know, wanting the approval of others. But it's actually, you said this in the last episode, it's a surefire way to feel lonely and disconnected. Absolutely. So yeah, I love that. And in the spirit of not people pleasing, I want to keep talking to you so much, but I unfortunately have to go. But is there anything else that you wish that I would have asked that you never get to talk about that you want to share?
Never get to talk about. Let's see. I think the only thing that's being prompted to me to say in this time is that you don't have to have it all together before you take action. You don't have to have all the answers. I think so much we wait to gather all the clarity before we make a move. Like, same in relationships too. We're like, is this the right person before we allow ourselves to just naturally navigate it? When you take action, it gives the opportunity for the universe to give you feedback. So you can like see, oh, that was the right thing to do. Let me keep moving this way. Or, oh, that wasn't right. I think the only time the universe can't interact with you is when you're sitting in that inaction. So even if you don't have the clarity, like making a decision, doing something will allow you to navigate it, and just trust yourself to navigate along the way, that if you make a wrong turn, you'll be able to be pushed back on the right path. But at least you're moving, if that makes sense. There's this quote by like Brendan Burchard. It says, doubt increases with inaction. Clarity reveals itself in momentum. Growth comes from progress. For all these reasons, begin. And I think allow ourselves to begin, even if it's not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Start before you're ready. There's no good time to do something. Yeah.
Yes, because if you're being prompted to do it, the universe already thinks you're ready.
Yeah.
So jump.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jessica. You're incredible. Everyone should go book a session with you right now. I just think the world of you. We end by letting out a deep breath. So inhale. Let it out.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much, Katie. I really appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank
you
so much. Oh my goodness. And likewise to you, and have an amazing trip. And I hope you come back. Cause like I said, I had a million more questions. So I hope we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. I'm here for it anytime.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone listening.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, that was my conversation with Jessica Lida. Get in touch with her. She probably has some openings for sessions, and I'd love to hear about your experience. there's something I wanted to share with her in this about the recent episode I did, not episode, but the recent session I did with her. And I didn't have time, but I ended up texting her about it after, and I want to tell you too, which is that at the end of sessions with her, and you know if you did one, if you've done one before, she basically recommends a bunch of things, like, okay, this, like kind of prescribing things, like a prescription of sorts. And, you know, it's often like drink more water, try, like she mentioned in this, ashwagandha, or, you know, sleep a little bit more. Like one of mine this time, for instance, was no caffeine, but just for 2 days, which I did. It was hard, but I did it, and it sort of reset something. And that was her advice, and I took it. And often it's, you know, like sleep, water related. It's kind of that. One time it was honey for me, like a few sessions ago, I remembered. But anyway, this time, one of the things she was like kind of going through them, and she's like, okay, this. And then she's like, and then weird, I'm getting, you should more butterflies. It's like saying you need butterflies. And she's like, weird, I guess it's just like time in nature. And I was like, okay, cool. So I did see a bunch of butterflies. Like I was actually outside doing that session with her, and a butterfly flew by, and then I just sort of saw them. I saw this fuzzy caterpillar that I'd never seen before on a hike with Lindsay around that, like that day or something. Anyway, but I didn't think much of it. And then I was like, oh, it's funny that she thought nature, because I interpreted that when I first heard her say butterflies as like, do things that give you butterflies. Like, text that person, or like do the, be a, you know, that sort of thing, you know, like put yourself out there, you know. But so I did that, and I'm not sure that was correct. Maybe I should have stayed with the nature, but that's neither here nor there. The other thing, when I went back to look at the last episode with her to link it, I realized that I used to choose an emoji to put at the end of these episodes to let us know you're listening all the way to the end. It was like a little secret code we did for a while, and I stopped doing it at some point. Anyway, I kid you not, guess what the emoji was for her last episode. That's right, it was the butterfly. So anyway, if you're still listening now to the very end, comment a caterpillar emoji. Is there one? I don't know, we'll find out. Thank you so much for listening. Get in touch with Jessica. Let me know if you need anything from me. Sign up for the Substack. I mentioned that we were gonna take a week off and that I was gonna be in Mexico for the wedding of our 400th guest, Alyssa Benjamin, and my friend David in Oaxaca, which I was. And then I'd be back, which I have not been. It's been longer than we took an additional week off. But I said at the end of that last episode with Free that I was going to spend so much time working on this project. I've been sort of not teasing. I really am doing it, but it's just taking much longer. And I was like, I'm going to spend so much time on it in Mexico. I like preemptively said that, which I'll splice in a clip here. But anyway, I didn't. So I'm not fully ready to tell you the rest of about that, but I will be soon, and I'm optimistic. So let me know if you need anything at all, I guess. I will be back very soon with a new episode. This podcast is edited by Brianna Bain. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.